This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. You probably heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but do you know what it is or how to play? The Washington Post wrote earlier this year that D&D is cool now, and that an unprecedented number of adults are playing. Quote, "It's the ultimate sign that nerd culture is now mainstream." Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the enduring appeal of Dungeons & Dragons, our co-host of the Adventure Zone podcast and co-author of the graphic novel The Adventure Zone Murder on the Rockport Limited, Travis McElroy. Welcome, Travis.
Hello.
And executive director of the nonprofit Superheroes Etc., Carolyn No. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi. It's actually Superheroines Etc.
It is Superheroines, and I have that in my questions written correctly, just not in my script, so I apologize
for
that sexist, terrible remark, and we're off to a terrible start.
No, it's fine.
I apologize, Carolyn. You'll find a way to pay me back, I hope. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. If you've got questions about D&D, now is your chance. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets there. Okay, you're both very excited. I understand Travis had a lot of coffee. A
lot of coffee.
And we're set to talk about some D&D. But before we get into what it is, What is nerd culture?
Okay, so here's... That's such a good question, and the answer is very amorphous. Because I would say it's anything that for a long, long time wasn't considered mainstream. But, like, what does that mean? I think nerd culture is anything that is being excited about something you have to explain to somebody what it is. That's a short, amorphous answer of, like, anything. Like, if you say, I like football, everyone's like, I know what football is. And when you're like, I like Battlestar Galactica, someone's going to go, now, what is that, right? And I think if there's a follow-up question, it's nerd culture.
Interesting. Yes. Great answer. Okay, so then now let's open this up. What is Dungeons & Dragons, just in general?
So Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game. And that sounds a little intimidating, mm-hmm. I think, to a lot of folks.
Yeah, so I have a follow-up question, so that must be nerd culture.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we'll go on.
And it's a game that can be played... even as like a something you do just collectively with friends, you don't even need like a board or minis. I think people get really wrapped up in like the items that come along with Dungeons & Dragons, but it's really about a shared storytelling experience. Dungeons & Dragons comes with rules that help you develop characters, develop storylines, develop monsters that can attack you, or non-player characters, people who aren't the main people around the table, so that you can create this shared storytelling experience together at the table.
So you're kind of making the game up. Well, there may be some rules or some guidelines. Mm-hmm. You're creating a lot of the elements of the story that you're playing in.
Yeah. It's one of the things, to jump ahead a little bit, that I think has led to it becoming so popular is that basically what D&D is it's a skeleton of a story, and then you have a dungeon master, or in a lot of games just called the game master, GM or DM, who then kind of fleshes out the skeleton along with the people playing, and it's just a big jumping off point for like storytelling and character creation and all that stuff.
How long does it typically take for like a newbie who shows up and like, I'm going to try this out, joins an experience group? How long does it take to catch on?
You can go right away. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that I think. So we're right now, I think we're in the current fifth edition. But it's called like D&D Next or something. But it's
I didn't even know what that is. So they call it like there's editions of this game.
Correct.
Who puts the game out?
It's Wizards of the Coast, and they right now it's D&D Next. And so with fourth edition and fifth edition, they made a big push to make it a lot more like first time user friendly. Especially now in fifth edition, it's so much focused on story that it's like if you can answer a question, you can play D&D, because basically a good DM will do things like say, so you've reached this, you know, clearing in the woods, you hear rustling in the bushes, what do you do? And all you have to do is say, like, I run, or I check it out, or I ask the other player. Like, you just need to be able to respond to questions to play. That's it.
And the characters that you're portraying are characters you've dreamt up yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
But even that, with the starter kit, you can do pre-rolled characters. When we started the Adventure Zone, we did it with, with 5th edition. And it came in like a starter kit box where it had, you know, first level fighter, a first level cleric, a first level rogue, a first level. And you could just take it, write a name at the top of it, and go.
And the Adventure Zone is the podcast you do with your brothers and your dad. And we're going to talk about that in a moment because it's a wildly popular podcast, and it's now a multimedia enterprise. You have some graphic novels as well. But first, I want to read some quick clips from some U.S. news outlets about this popularity increase about the game. The Philadelphia Inquirer said Dungeons & Dragons has, against long odds, recently become something vaguely resembling cool. Regular games are popping up in bars and coffee shops and in people's homes across Philadelphia and its suburbs. The New Yorker wrote, in 2017, gathering your friends in a room, setting your devices aside, and taking turns to contrive a story that exists largely in your head gives off a radical whiff for a completely different reason than it did in 1987. And the fear that a role-playing game might wound the psychologically fragile seems to have flipped on its head. Therapists use D&D to get troubled kids to talk about experiences that might otherwise embarrass them, and children with autism use the game to improve their social skills. And CNBC wrote, more than 40 years after the first edition of Dungeons and Dragons hit shelves, video platforms Twitch and YouTube are leading a renaissance of the fantasy role-playing board game, and business is booming.
Yes to all of that.
Yeah, so what has fueled this change in the narrative around this game that had previously, I guess, been embedded solely in nerd culture?
My theory is it's the internet. It's like, I think, so nerd culture has become culture at this point. I mean, if you look at like top grossing movies, some of the like the highest rated TV shows, like book series that catch fire, it's all what would traditionally be considered nerdy. I mean, Game of Thrones is one of the biggest TV shows of all time, and it is set in a fantasy land with dragons and magic. And I think what it comes down to is for a long time, a lot of these games and properties and things were considered nerdy and something you had to keep quiet, and you were kind of afraid to go into school and say, do you play Dungeons & Dragons? Because if the answer was no, you would be made fun of because that's what people did. Like, where when it came down to it, just like video games, right? For a long time, people were afraid to say they played video games because it was scary and nerdy. And now if you don't play video games, it's weird. And I think it's like these things that always would have been popular if there was an easier way to see other people doing it. I mean, if you go on YouTube now, you can find tutorials of how to play games. You can find other streaming shows of people playing the game. And it normalizes all of this thing that everyone wants to do.
And Carolyn, what do you think? What has shifted?
I think something that Travis alluded to earlier, which is the rules have changed significantly so that it's not about memorizing statistics and you know, making sure that every role is perfect or just feeling kind of that sense that you have to know everything about the rules. Now you can pick up a book, you can pick up the starter kit, you can get it at Target. And, you know, it's so much easier to pick up what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm.
So the Adventure Zone is a podcast in which three brothers and their dad play Dungeons and Dragons. Travis, you are one of those brothers.
Correct.
That does this. Where did this idea come from?
There's two answers to that. One answer is it came from Griffin and I.
That's your brother.
Yes, my younger brother, enjoying listening to other actual play, like D&D podcasts. There's one called Acquisitions Incorporated that kind of got us interested in doing it, but there were other ones too. And then when my older brother, he was going to go on paternity leave, Justin, my older brother, when his daughter Charlie was born, we needed like episodes that we could pre-record to kind of fill out the time. And Griffin said, like, let's do a one-off like D&D podcast where we just play the starter kit because we'd been wanting to put a game together for a while. And then we put it up and people really, really liked it. So we just kind of kept doing it.
Did your dad always like it, or was this part of the hook, was that you were introducing him to the game?
It was the first time dad had ever played. And our dad is an old school, quote unquote, nerd, like
video Star
games.
Trek.
Yeah, everything. And he had just never played D&D. Like, he just never knew people who had done it. It's not like he made the decision, but he just didn't know anybody who was doing it. So I had played a couple times. Griffin had played a couple times. I think Justin had played once, and Dad had never played before in his life.
And you guys are all kind of scattered because you're based here in Cincinnati.
Correct.
And then your brothers are elsewhere, and your dad is elsewhere.
Yes. My dad is in Ironton, Ohio. My older brother is in West Virginia still, in Huntington. And my younger brother is in Austin, Texas.
The Daily Dot called The Adventure Zone the best ever podcast about Dungeons and Dragons and wrote, quote, "The show is usually in the comedy top 20 on Apple Podcast, garnered more than 5,000 reviews on the platform, and spurred the creation of many new live role-playing podcasts. It's a social media behemoth, and some have even claimed the show gets nearly 2 million downloads a week."
Yeah, thereabouts, I think. I mean, it varies depending on where we're at in a story and people going back and listening to stuff and people binging on everything, but we do okay.
Well, why do you think people respond to it?
You know, I think that to tie it back to what we were talking about earlier with, like, simplifying the rules and the wider reach, is a lot of times you saw things spring up of people who were kind of experts at it. And our whole take was like, no, we're dummies. We don't know what we're doing. And we're like, we focus more on, like, the story and the goofiness and just kind of having fun playing it, even in the dramatic moments. And we use the skeleton of the rules to build off, and we ignore rules that don't forward the story we want to tell. And I think that, not to toot our own horn, but I think was different from the way a lot of people use D&D, like actual play. It was more like how-to plays. And ours was like, do not use us as an example of how to play D&D. This is how to tell a weird story. And I think that introduced the idea of D&D to people who are maybe afraid of, like, being too rules-focused. And it was just more about the fun of it. And I think that maybe drew some people in. That's my bet.
Carolyn, tell us about Superheroines, etc. What is it?
Sure. We're a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to empower women to embrace their inner nerd. But since then, we've really expanded into doing more in relation to using fandom to make positive social change. We have two chapters, one here in Cincinnati and one in St. Louis.
And that's where you had moved from.
That is where I moved from, yes. And we do a number of events and activities. Our bread and butter is our Learn a Game event, which is tabletop gaming. We get a little bit into role-playing games, not always Dungeons and Dragons. And we do a new program called Agents of Change, which is really about how to address the things that we're seeing in pop culture and make positive social change in an active way. So planning events or campaigns or something where we can make an actual difference in our community.
Why do you think it's important that women have their own space to pursue these activities?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, there are a lot of spaces, especially on the internet, where women encounter harassment, and more than harassment, spaces where women don't feel welcome, where not just women, but pretty much anyone who doesn't look a certain way. And for us, it's really about creating community and creating a safe space for folks to explore things like Dungeons and Dragons without feeling judged. You know, there have definitely been times where I've walked into a game store or a comic book shop and felt uncomfortable, like I didn't know what I was doing, even if I did. And I know there are many other women who could share similar stories.
Let's talk about the characters that you play when you're playing the game. And I don't even know if I'm using that terminology correctly. I mean, do you play one character?
The characters we embody.
Whichever character you summon into your being when you're playing these games. Travis, tell us, I mean, what's the main character you like to portray?
Well, I mean, probably the most well-known one I do is Magnus Burnside's The Fighter, who I played in the Adventure Zone Balance. Right now, we're doing an arc called Adventure Zone Amnesty that takes place in real world West Virginia, but with monsters and stuff. And that one's called and that one's using a game system called Monster of the Week. And I play a young woman named Aubrey Little, who is a real life magician, like a performing magician, and also can use real magic. She's great. But I have lots of characters that I play. I've also done one on another show called Buckminster Eden, who I really liked because he was he basically is all based on charisma and has no fighting prowess whatsoever. So if he gets in a fight, he will die. And I enjoy that very much. But yeah, I like playing different characters, and all of them end up being more or less accidentally based on me.
And Carolyn, what about you?
I am currently playing a halfling wizard named Augury Tea Leaf. It's a little
it's
on
a
the
great
nose.
Name.
It's a fun name. And I'm a divination wizard, so I can reroll pretty frequently based on all of my character traits, which makes that pretty fun. Previous to that, I played Anastasia Beaverhausen.
Nice.
I don't know if anyone's a Will and Grace fan.
Will and Grace, yeah, that was a Karen reference, yes.
And I was a half-elf ranger, and that was a really fun character to play as well.
So how would I go about creating a character? What's the steps that I would need to take?
Well, so I would say that character creation is the only minor hurdle, I would say, in play, only because it's like a six-step process. But there's also
there are parts of the game that take place that lead you to creating this character.
Well, so it's more of like you can either – okay, so mechanically, you build it beforehand. And then, like, as far as fleshing out the character, that usually happens as you play. But there's a website called D&D Beyond where they will walk, like, step-by-step walk you through how to build the character. Also, in the player's handbook, it walks you through step-by-step how to build the character. And it's my favorite part of the game. I sometimes will just get bored and just create a new character just for fun, not even to play.
Yeah.
Just because I like doing it. But, yeah, it's mostly, once again, another series of questions of, like, what role do you want to play in the party? That kind of thing. And then you flesh it out.
And sometimes serious issues are discussed at the Adventure Zone, for example. One website noted, quote, understanding and calling out their own privilege as three straight white cisgender men has been a big part of the McElroy's ability to receive criticism from fans. So it's not just creating characters. It does speak to what Carolyn was saying, that there is a need for spaces for different people to talk about these issues. Why was that important to you, Travis, and your straight brothers, your straight white brothers?
You know, the answer is trying to be better. You know, trying to be better storytellers, trying to understand the world, trying to be more helpful to people. Like, the thing is I don't want to make a show that's just for, like, straight cis white dudes. Like, that's not – who wants that? There's been plenty of those. Those shouldn't exist. I want a story that anyone can listen to and see themselves in and feel like they're – supposed to be listening to it, and it's for everybody, and that, you know, and the other thing is like I want to always be learning, and I want to always be improving, and I never want to assume that I know everything and I'm the best that I can be. And, you know, I've also just as a word to the wise to other creators, listening to other people and trying to see things from other people's points of view and including other people's points of view makes you a better storyteller. And it makes your story more interesting. It makes the world you create more interesting. Inclusion, I think, inherently improves story.
And you have these graphic novels. Is there more than one? It's a series?
So
I've got one called Here There Be Goblins.
Yes, I'm sorry to correct you. Here There Be Gerblins. Here There Be Gerblins is the first one.
You're right. I see
because
that
because we are just silly. And for some reason, that's how we pronounced Gerblins.
Okay,
the whole episode.
Sure.
I don't know. I blame that on Griffin. But yeah, Here There Be Gerblins was the first one. And then Murder on the Rockport Limited is the second one.
The Gerblins one has endorsements from Adam Savage of Mythbusters, John Hodgman of Vacationland. Did you think D&D would lead you to the minds of folks like that?
No. That's the thing. Is like I didn't expect people to, like, it's silly. Like, that's the thing is, and also the show itself was is very much what it is because of fan interaction. Like, when we started, if you listen to, especially, like, the balance arc, it starts very silly because, like, we were treating the characters as silly. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. That was silly. And then as we saw people get invested in it, we started getting more invested in it because we wanted to live up to the expectation. And so, like, we as storytellers improved, the story improved, the characters, I think, got more interesting because we just wanted to live up to the expectations of people.
Carolyn, you talked about how your organization helps women explore their inner nerd. And for the people who've been listening to this segment today and say to themselves, okay, I'm going to give this a try. What's the first step in embracing your inner nerd and then learning to play Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, that's a great question. So I personally think that most people are nerds. I think being nerdy is being passionate enough about something that you can talk to someone for hours and not get tired. The first step, I think, to getting into Dungeons & Dragons is finding a group of friends and finding someone willing to be your dungeon master. I think that is like the key part.
Yes.
It can be challenging to be a dungeon master because you feel like you have to know all the rules and what all of your characters are doing and your storyline. But we actually have a GM workshop, so we kind of go between dungeon master and game master pretty frequently. So we call them GMs. And we have a workshop just for women so that they can practice on each other, kind of like a writing circle. And then they all kind of rotate and GM for each other over 6 months. And hopefully we'll be putting more GMs out into the world.
Carolyn Noe is with Super Heroines, Etc. And Travis McElroy hosts the podcast The Adventure Zone, has a series of graphic novels out. We have links to all of their stuff at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition segment. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.